Arte da ascoltare. Radio Papesse al Festival dell'Arte Contemporanea. A Faenza è arrivata per presentare The Fruit of One's Labor di Natasha Sadra Aghigyang. Abbiamo incontrato Chus Martinez per parlare del ruolo del museo come piattaforma ipotetica e spazio di pensiero speculativo, di modernità, di attualizzazione delle pratiche artistiche passate come esercizio di riflessione sulla complessità dell'oggi, di crimini contro l'arte e di Are You Ready for TV, la mostra che aprirà a novembre 2010 al MACBA di Barcellona e che esamina la TV in rapporto alla pratica artistica, andando oltre al consueto dibattito intorno alla massificazione e omologazione dei comportamenti e al controllo delle informazioni.
Since a museum is not a fixed place and you are not presenting fixed meaning to an audience, it would be really nice to conceive that the white cube is not a cube or white anymore, but a space for presenting thinking. But the thinking that you are presenting through works of art is speculative thinking. It's an exercise in trying to figure out how different disciplines, the visual, the perceptual, the philosophical, the social, the speculative intertwine. So in that sense, when I say that the museum is an hypothetical platform, it means that it's more than a platform, it's an exercise in itself. So it's not fixed, it's not a building, it's what the building does or what is get done in the building. So it would be very interesting to conceive actually that a museum is a new manner of an academia, like in Italy, like a garden in the 16th century, where the garden was not a garden, meaning plants, but the garden was a social architecture where different ways of thinking about culture were possible. And I think it would be really nice to recuperate that notion. Well, I think that the audience is much more free than people imagine them to be. They are much more... It's funny. When you think about the crisis, you would think that the crisis kind of prevents or is preventing culture, but it's the other way around. So since the crisis started 2.5 years ago, more or less, for example, the numbers of visitors of MACBA implement, they went higher. And there is a reason for it, because people is trying to get to terms with who they are, and culture provides an answer, or provides at least a space or a field where you can speculate about yourself, where you can see where are you in relationship with the real, with the relationship with the images and all that. So I think that sometimes we are internalizing too much what politicians ambition for culture, but it's not the same as what culture ambitions for culture, and it's definitely not a synonym with what the normal, if such a thing exists, what the civil society ambitions for culture. And the civil society is much more open. And of course it cannot happen, but imagine that a visit to a museum would be accompanied with a conversation with this visit. And we don't have the money for that, but that would be the ideal situation, that you are not only visiting a museum or an exhibition, purchasing a book, but you would be surrounded by people which is willing to talk about this experience that you are just having, no? Every time, for example, on the weekends, I go to the museum where I work and I enter the museum and then I'm a little bit of a freak. I start to talk to people like, what do you think? How are you feeling? And so on. It's so easy to engage into a conversation, and actually people is so open and they like the idea of being in a place which is different from the shopping mall and is different from the office or different from the factory or removed from the influence of the media. So you are finding a space where it's for yourself and it's in your own terms. So it's not bad at all. I think for me it's clearly research. I'm very fascinated by engaging into the research processes that artists are starting, and also for me it's very interesting how we can understand that contemporary art is adding to other social sciences. Like nowadays we try to understand economy, we try to understand sociology, we try to understand our life through the different sciences that interpret our life, from medicine, no? From medicine to astrophysics, to quantum physics, to sociology, to history, and art is one of these sciences. So for me, to be a curator, it means actually to engage with this science and try to establish situations where these sciences can interlink, and also where this dialogue can be interpreted for a broader audience and can be communicated. So it's not only about selecting works that you present in an art historical perspective or in an historical perspective. This is one part of the job, and it's a beautiful part of the job, but it's not the only one. And I think that in that sense I'm not an art historian. I think my background is philosophy, and clearly more and more as I'm getting older I'm much more fascinated by ideas and how art is really one of the most impressive idea production think tank. So for example, like, I'm very fascinated with our collection because it's new to me. I started to work in this museum only 2 years ago. So you are confronted with a material that has been put together by somebody else, but actually tries to respond to our modernity and try to also come to terms with things we got and things we lack. So Spain has a very lacking modernity. I think it was only pointed towards but not really happening. So it was promised to us but it could not be realized because the dictatorship was in the middle of the project, because the closing of the country, because a lack of contextualization, because a geographical positioning that make things very difficult in terms of transmission of knowledge and transfer of knowledge. So that's very interesting. So I don't think about it in a historical sense. I think about it like a very interesting material that allow us to exercise this very situation in actual time. For example, one of the most important people in the mid-50s, it was a person that I thought it was very interesting. It was a ceramist. It was called Antonio Cumella. He started to do ceramics and started to exhibit these ceramics abroad, like in Germany and all over. And also was in a close relationship with artists like Miró, Picasso, Saura, with many artists. The notion of the craft, I'm saying also that because we are here in Faenza and I'm fascinated by that, was very important for him. The idea of an artist that would talk about abstraction, but instead of doing so through painting, he would do so through ceramics. And then he produced a catalog of notions that were dealing with Ua form, with the very original forms, almost prehistorical forms, forms with no decoration and forms with no elements but texture and color. Then he started to collaborate with people like the group R, that were a group of architects, and people like Artigas, many architects, in order to create this place for the ceramics. So this material for me is very important and fundamental to include in the Magba collection, for example, and then to make a dialogue in between this way of understanding the practice and other ways that came from painting and that came from, you know, more accepted fine arts and academic disciplines. So then you think about people like Paul Sitzema, that in the last Berlin Biennale presented a work called Figure 3, where he was presenting a movie where a ceramic object was turning around itself. It was a Greek ceramic object from an archaeological museum. So it's interesting, this notion of archaeology, our relationship with the past, our relationship with forms, our relationship with content, and then, you know, these notions of how to connect materials departing from a very local situation, in that case Catalan ceramist working in the mid-50s in a very close city like Barcelona did not have the opportunity to engage into an international dialogue. Seen from the perspective of an American artist like Sitzema, or a Peruvian artist like Armando Andrade Tudela, or people like Mariana Castillo de Val, which are from Mexico, and she's also working in similar terms, would be super, super productive. So how to engage with a collection, actualizing it, like trying to understand the kind of research that these artists were engaging with and then bringing it to the present always, because that's how, you know, a collection should be. It should be like a tool and should be eloquent. It still should be an eloquent tool for the present. You know, modernity is a process of dramatization of history. This is it. Modernity tries to dramatize history. And as Schiller put it, modernity tries to find aesthetic dimension to paradoxical situations, situations that they seem impossible together. And more than ever, we are facing these kind of situations, like can the Islam be a source of modernity, for example, like now that we are in the after image of the September 11 attacks and that we are dealing in the news and in our everyday life with questions of how to engage with cultures that have a different perception of values and norms than our own. Can they be a source of modernity? Can they be a source of future? Which is the question. Modernity is good in the sense that modernity always try to dramatize it. They always try to make a script, so to say, of these questions. They did not take them literally. They brought the question to a fictional level. And in that sense, it is important to understand this exercise, to see how can we actually understand what's going on. We are in a really interesting time. We are in a certain interregnum, in a moment where several knowledge systems and interpretative devices came to an end, and we need to develop others. So we need to enhance a different vocabulary and different explanatory systems. So it is really challenging, but it's also very scary because we don't know how to deal with that. So in that sense, culture is more actual than ever, and it's really not a question about presenting culture in a historical or ahistorical manner, but it's the question of how can we think along culture? How can we be part of it? Because if we are not part of it, we are just victims of it, or we just be witnesses of something which seems irremediable, that's going to happen to us no matter what. So in that sense, it's really a very interesting moment that equals what happens in certain moments of the 50s. It's about to hybridize the literal meaning, to break it down. Like, we cannot deal anymore with notions of literality. Notions of truth are also very suspicious to us, so we need to art is a transversal discipline, so we need to apply this methodology to many other inherited knowledges we have, and history is one of them, politics is another one of them, and our interpretation of the political system and all that. So in that sense, as I said, art is a very, very productive field because it allows us for experimenting not only with the visual or with the senses, but with human sciences and come to terms with our intellectual history. I think we need to understand where we are coming from and what we are going towards. So that's not very easy, but if we don't take full responsibility of it, then culture makes no sense. I think the role of a museum is not only to produce exhibitions, but to produce exhibitions in the horizon of that ambition, to understand.
Crime against art.
I was like a telephone call of two very good friends of mine. We are constantly teasing each other. One is Anton Bidocle, which is like an artist based in New York, also well known for his eFlux platform, and Tirdat Solgar. And I was at the Van Ave Museum. I don't remember what exactly was I doing there, but then I received a telephone call from Anton, saying we have been invited to ARCO in Madrid to put together a panel discussion, and it's going to be very boring. Let's don't do a panel discussion again, also because we know each other. So I thought it would be interesting to do a trial against Tirdat and myself, and that we could stage like a theater play where Jan Ferbert is going to be the judge, and then we are going to be prosecuted because we are the ones invited, so we kind of put ourselves forward, and we are going to be accused by you of being co-leading with the bourgeois. And then I was like, I thought it was a joke, and then I said like, yes, he says, of course, definitely, Anton, why not? This is fantastic. I'm the only woman in this crisis, and of course the woman should be the prosecutor, like the bitch that's accusing her friends. And then I just hang the phone, and then they call me a couple of days later, like, choose, everyone agree, like, Charles is going to be the defender, and Basif is going to be prosecuting with you. And I was like, what, are you talking seriously? And then I realized that they were just going forward with the machine, but I was not taking them very seriously. So there was a performance, actually, and I never saw the film. I have two copies, one in my office, another one at home, and I never have the nerves to watch them, so no idea. The crime was that these two friends of us wanted to put forward a certain alliance in between the art world embodying themselves with the bourgeois values, with the idea of the bourgeois values, which I thought it was very old-fashioned and actually a very romantic accusation. I would never accuse anybody of such a beautiful romantic crime. And then I was like, you know, trying to avoid the accusation in the whole trial. But since none of us really prepared a script, or at least not me, it was a total improvisation. So the room was full of people, and then the cameras were full on, and I've never been so nervous in my life. None of us really knew what would be the outcome of a situation like that. And it actually started by the ambition of Anton and Tirdat not to replicate the panel discussion format and do something else. So it was kind of an experiment or a joke, and why not? I think we were invited in an art fair to just do a panel, and then they thought it was like more and more in commercial circuits that these discussions were taking place, so it would be really nice to just make a theater out of it, so.
Are you ready for TV?
I'm probably facing one of the most problematic projects or complex projects till now, because actually I'm not a TV expert. So when I came to Magma, I realized that the collection owns very, very interesting works that deal with TV and audiovisual material. Like 60% of the collection is cinema-based or audiovisually-based, and it's very driven towards conceptually-based. So I thought it would be interesting to study it a little bit more. And then I start to research something I almost know nothing about, which is the relationship in between visual arts and TV. Then I also research programs that wanted to talk about art from the TV, and then also philosophers talking on TV, in order to understand how public arena gets constructed and the idea of the public space. And now I'm in the level where I'm working together with Dora Garcia, which is a performing artist. It's a person that I really trust a lot and knows lots of performance and performance history. And more I came to the conclusion that the only way that you could surpass the media analysis of TV, that means not only to do an exhibition that would confront you to the fact that indeed art did have a relationship with television, indeed there is a very interesting material that was televised, and that TV is a very complex media that sometimes is manipulating our opinion about the world, blah blah blah. So in order to surpass the traditional media critique, it would be interesting to approach TV as a resource for performing a space, performing a narrative, and performing conventions, so media conventions. And then I am, together with Dora, producing a script and I am trying to do an exhibition that would allow us to explore television as an interesting source for trying to understand our double binding relationship with reality in contemporary culture. So on the one hand, we want really to get closer to reality more and more, and on the other hand, we are trying to create more and more devices to prevent us to go closer to reality, from displays in our telephones to Kindle books or iPads to TV to all kind of social networks through internet, so all that. So TV or television, since it's coming from theater in the sense that it's based on the unification of narration, space and time, it's a very interesting exercise to understand where are we standing in relationship to the real. And then through that, I'm doing a kind of a morphological exhibition of television. So let's see where I'm going. I've been asking lots of artists, do you watch TV, or how important is TV for you? For many, from Judith Barry to John Jonas to Johan Grimon Pretz to Dora Garcia to Isidoro Valcarcel Medina to plenty of not only artists working with the media like Johan, which is clearly working with the media, to people like Mario Garcia Torres that clearly does not work with the media. All of them said, yes, we watch TV, and yes, TV provides us a very interesting vocabulary of how to deal with conventions. The convention of ubiquity, like where you are, where you are watching. So it's an interesting exercise of trying to talk about spectatorship, like where is the spectator, what are you watching, how are you watching it, when are you watching it. And let's see, it's an experiment. So it's opening in November in MACBA, and let's see where we are going. But so far, so fun. And it's also experimental because museologically speaking, it's very difficult to give form to a material that is not actually having a tradition in the museum exhibitions. I think it's not that TV gets exhibited. We got this very interesting internal discussions even with the team. So TV is, in my opinion, it's a format. Historically speaking, TV is not the TV monitor, but the TV format. And the TV format is 3x4. So this is TV. So you don't need monitors necessarily. So you could project and you can do many things. So we are right now studying the architecture of TV sets, the use of art in the TV sets, the use of performance, music. So we are trying to get a quite experimental way of exhibiting TV, so not necessarily on monitors, because the monitor or the TV set is really not a synonymous what TV is. So TV is really a format, it's a convention. Since yesterday it was 3-4, now it's not even more 3-4, now it's 16-9, because everyone has a plasma screen at home or a plasma-like kind of a screen, or YouTube, so even that convention got broken. TV has many lives. It's very interesting. Like, for example, nowadays, the process of privatization in Italian TV makes that many of us think that Italian TV is one of the most commercial TVs in Europe and so on, but also, in parallel to that, Italian educational TV was one of the most interesting and experimental. And if you look at TV history in Italy, you have this philosophical encyclopedia in TV. You have like many very interesting programs going on, together with French TV that they were broadcasting hours and hours of philosophy on TV. You also discover a new commonality and a new public sphere in Italy itself. I'm particularly looking into Italy because it's a very interesting case study, because it's very close to us, meaning to Spain, but it's totally different. And I think that Italian TV was one of the most interesting exercises in trying to create a public opinion. It has been a little bit of a look, and the programmers you got in TV were amazing. So the intellectual power here was amazing. For Italians, you have this philosopher encyclopedia, which I was like taken aback by it. You have IOE, that program that was also like thousands of exercises where intellectuals were investing in programs that then were broadcast and watched, like, because the only way to prove it is asking, and if you ask any Italian, they'd all remember it. So it's a very, very emotional and very beautiful material. So, you know, it's not only TB able, but it's also interesting how TB possibilitate interesting conversations and exercises in the visual and in the thinking. So, and the same with France. I think after the Second World War, France started to broadcast the most important philosophical programs. So in between the 50s and the 60s, they broadcast around 3,500 hours of philosophy on TV. Can you imagine that? It's amazing. Maurice Blanchot, Foucault, everyone was giving lectures on TV and people was watching them. It's really interesting to look at this material and to see how this material articulates a thinking forum and how artists look at it. For example, watching Foucault on French TV inspired many artists on the idea of the orator, like the idea of a choreography with the space, with the audience, and so on. So TV is quite an intriguing media still.
Radio Papesse.org.